afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati First Half 2017 Results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianne Tacke, Director of Investor Relations and Corporate Communications of Recordati. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon or good morning to everyone, and thank you for attending the Recordati conference call today. Fritz Grindl, our CFO, will be presenting and commenting upon our first half 2017 results and our objectives for the full year. For a better understanding of his presentation, please access the set of slides available on our website, www.recordati.com, under the Investor Relations section and Presentations tab. At the end of the presentation, we will answer any questions you may have. Please go ahead, Fritz.
Okay. Thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. We can start from our slide number two, and let me say that we are very pleased with our first half 2017 results, which continue to show sales and margin growth. Consolidated revenue in the period is 650.9 million, which are up by 10.7% compared to last year. Let me underline that sales in the period include 25.2 million from the consolidation of Italchimica and Profarma, the Italian and the Swiss company acquired in 2017 and 2016, and consolidated respectively as from 1st of June and 1st of July. Like-for-like sales growth is 6.4%, which means that we continue with a solid and strong organic growth. This excellent sales performance, as I said, is mainly due to the organic development of our portfolio and driven a further improvement of our margins. EBITDA at 34.4% as a percentage of sales is in absolute value 224 million, up by 19.1% compared to last year. Operating income at 31.2% of sales is 203.2 million, an increase of 19.4%, and net income at 22.6% of sales is 147 million, an increase of 19.8% over the same period of preceding year. Let me then underline again that we continue to increase and further expand our margins. Regarding the financial position, net debt at the end of the period is 356.3 million. Here we have an increase of 157.5 million, but let me underline that in the period we have distributed dividend and we have paid the acquisition of the product from AstraZeneca for an overall disbursement of 325 million. We continue to have a solid and strong financial free cash flow generation. Solid financial results, but in the period also important development initiatives for the further growth of the company were undertaken. Let's start with Cystadrop, an orphan drug which is indicated for the ocular manifestation of cystinosis, was approved by EMA in January, and we are starting selling the product during the period. An important agreement was signed with Mayer Pediatric Hospital in Florence in Italy for the development of the treatment of DEROCK, which is a retinopathy of. In May, we acquired the orphan drug, European rights to AstraZeneca metoprolol-based product, which will contribute to a significant reinforcement of our presence in this market. More recently, we signed an agreement with Mimetec for the development subsequent global marketing of the new compound for the treatment of neuropathic keratitis, and in July, Reagila, the cariprazine product in license, which is an innovative antipsychotic under license from Gedeon Richter, was approved by the European Medicines Agency, and we expect to start launches of this drug in 2018. In the period, we have both enough the pipeline, mainly in the orphan arena, and we also sign agreement for the further development also in the primary and specialty care business. Slide number three. Here we comment our main product sales. Let's start with Zanidip. Overall, we are very satisfied with the positive performance of our corporate product during the first half. Zanidip sales continue show one increase by 8%, which means that we continue to keep our sales, and we have a slight increase of our sales in the Zanidip plain. Regarding the Zanipress sales, Zanipress is the combination of lercanidipina and enalapril. These are up in the period by 3.9%, and the entry of the generic version in the main European market, which were expected at the beginning of the year, we have had some delay in this, and now the assumption for the entry of the generic of the combination, we expect to be in the second half. Let me underline that in the first half, we have only seen some initial sales in Germany. Then we expected the generic to enter at the beginning of the year, now the assumption is the entry in the second part of the year. The overall sales of the lercanidipina franchise, also thanks to this delay and the entry of the generic version of the combination in the first half of 2017, are 105.5 million. Very solid performance of our important franchise, which is the franchise of lercanidipina product. Other corporate products, starting with Urorec, Cilodosin, generated sales of 46.5 million during the first half, up 8.9%, mainly due to the good performance of the product in Italy, France, and Russia. Sales of Livazo in Spain, Portugal, Ukraine, Greece, Switzerland, Russia, and Turkey are 19.4 million, up by 9.5%, and this is good due to the good performance of the product in Spain, Greece, and Switzerland, but also to the launch of the drug in Turkey. The selective market, but in this selective market, Livazo pitavastatina is growing, is doing very well. Other corporate products grow overall by 21.6%. Let me, and these comprise 21 products sold in multiple territories, each of which are OTC products. Major contributor to growth in the period and anti-infective sold in Russia, because we have a very strong performance in Russia of all our performance, including these other corporate products, and the performance is also, this performance, this increase is also due to the inclusion in the OTC portfolio of a line of gastroenterology products based on Lactobacilli reuteri, mainly sold in Italy by Italchemici. But overall, this is a group of products driven by very solid brand, which are growing, let me say, in all our territories. Our specialties indicated for the treatment of rare and orphan diseases generated in the period sales of 104.1 million, with an increase of 9.2% due to good performance of the business in all areas. All our product, corporate products are growing. In terms of product portfolio, in slide number four, the graph shows the breakdown of our revenue by type of product. No major changes compared to our presentation in the last quarter. There is a continuity in the business. Slide number five. Composition of sales of revenue by geography. Sales in our main markets continue growth. Let's start with Italy. Sales in Italy include the consolidation of revenues generated by Italchimici, the Italian company we bought last year, consolidated, as I said, from 1st of July 2016, for a total of 20.4 million. In pharmaceutical sales in France are up by 5%, due mainly to the good performance of Urorec, Cilodazine, Methadone, and also a good performance of Zanexa, our combination, because, as I said, we've not been impacted by generic competition for our combination in France. In addition, also to the sale of Lercan, the second brand of Lercanidipine, which is now sold directly by our subsidiary following the termination of the license agreement with the previous licensees, which was Pierre Fabre. The treatment for rare diseases also are growing strongly in France. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine, and the other CIS market is 56.4 million, which are up by 58% compared to the same period last year, and includes also a positive estimated positive exchange gain of 9.3 million. Excluding this positive contribution, sales in Russia in local currency are up by 26.6%. The very important contribution to the group result, but also very solid performance in local currency for our Russian portfolio. The group's pharmaceutical business in the USA is only dedicated for the treatment of products for the marketing of products for the treatment for rare diseases. Sales in the first half are up by 3.5%. In Germany, sales are up by 13.1 million, thanks to the significant sales growth of Zanipress, Ortoton, Lercanidipine, and other products, local products. Sales in Turkey are up by 1.3% and include here a negative estimated currency exchange effect of 8.5 million due to a depreciation of the ruble, but Turkish lira, but in local currency, our Turkish business is continuing doing well, and sales in Turkey in local currency are grow by 22.3%. Sales in other Western European countries include direct sales in Switzerland following the acquisition of Profarma AG in 2016, and we are very pleased by the performance of our new subsidiary in Switzerland. Slide number six, here we have a geographical breakdown of pharmaceutical revenue, and here again, there is no major changes in this breakdown with the Italian business, which represent 22%, and other group of business in Europe, market in Europe, which are a bit less than 10%. But no major changes compared to our breakdown achieved last year. Slide number seven, here we have our P&L analysis. Sales, we have already analyzed our revenue for the period. Gross profit is 454.1 million, with a margin of 69.8% of sales. And let me say that we continue to improve our gross profit, thanks to a better product mix that we continue to have. Selling expenses increased less than sales and are therefore down as a percentage of revenue compared to the preceding year, thanks to the increased efficiency of our group commercial organization. We have fully integrated the portfolio acquired by Italchimici, and we continue to leverage our organization, thanks to the efficiency that we have achieved in our commercial organization. R&D expenses are 47.2 million, up by 13.3% compared to those in the first half of 2016, and this is due to the initiation of new development program, in particular in the orphan diseases, but also to the agreement that we have signed in June with Mimetech for the development, success, and marketing for a new compound for the treatment of neurotrophic keratitis, for which we have paid an amount of 7 million euro, as an upfront payment, which has been fully charged to the P&L in the second quarter. Then, we've been able to achieve this very solid result and improvement in our margin, even if we have charged this 7 million euro upfront payment in the second quarter of this year. G&A expenses are up by 6.8%, but are down as a percentage of sales. Net other expenses is significantly reduced as compared to that of the same period the preceding year due to the extraordinary costs incurred in the first half of last year following the acquisition and the reorganization of the Italian company, Italkemisch. Net financial charges are 7 million, an increase of 1 million compared to the same period of the preceding year, and this is due mainly to higher currency exchange rate losses. The effective tax rate during the period is 25.1%, substantially in line with that of the same period of 2016, and net income at 22.6% as a percentage of sales is 147 million, and we have in the period an increase, as I said at the beginning of the presentation, of 19.8% in our net income. It is less than 20% increase in our net income. Slide number eight. This slide shows the split of revenues and EBIT between our two business segments. EBIT margin are 43.1% for the rare disease segment. It is a bit lower than what we have reported in the first quarter because due essentially to the inclusion in the R&D cost of the 7 million paid for the LimmaTech development agreement, while for the primary specialty care, the margin remain at 28.9%. Financial position, slide number nine. At June, the net financial position increased and show a net debt of 357.3 million, which compared to the net debt that we had at the beginning of the year, which was 198.8 million. This increase, let's say, is only due to the payment of the dividend, as I said at the beginning, and also to the payment for the acquisition of the product of AstraZeneca. We had in the period an overall extraordinary, let me say, disbursement of 325 million euros. Excluding this, we continue to have a solid generation of free cash flow with cash conversion, which is even more than one-to-one with the net income. Slide number nine, the conclusion of my presentation, the financial projection and the target for the full year. The group continue to perform very well also during July, and for the full year 2017, also including the consolidation as from this month of the sales of the metoprolol-based product acquired from AstraZeneca. Expectation for the full year is to achieve sales of between 1,290 million and 1,300 million, to achieve an EBITDA of between 450 million and 460 million, EBIT of between 400 million and 410 million, and a net income of between 290 million and 295 million. We expect to have a further improvement in our business, also thanks to the acquisition of the product of AstraZeneca. We signed the contract in May, and we closed the deal at the end of June, and we will start the consolidation of this new business 1st of July of this year. Here I conclude my presentation, and I am available for any question you may have. Thank you for your attention.
Operator, could you please open the question and answer session?
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from KC Arikatla of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have one question on your U.S. rare disease segment. In the quarter, they are down by around 1%. And also, it looks like the list prices of your top three products have gone up by 5 to 10% on April 1st. I understand that the net price increase could be very different from list price increase, but would be great if you could provide us some detail on the dynamics in the quarter and if you're seeing any volume declines for your products there. Thank you.
Okay. Then we continue to underline that a quarter is not very significant regarding the trend of the business. Having said that, we have our orphan business, which is overall, as I said in the presentation, in the half of the period growing by 9.2%. We continue to have the orphan business to be essentially in line, which is our expectation to have our business to grow double digit. We have, regarding the business, we have a solid double-digit growth in our business of the Orphan Europe, which means a group of products that we acquired in France, and we are now developing on a global basis, which is growing double-digit. Regarding our U.S. portfolio, this is essentially stable. You will see that on a local base, our business in the U.S. in the period increased by 1.3%. We also, because last year we increased significantly this business with new patients for the Carbaglu, this was also linked to the identification of the patient. Now we have a stable business. We have identified new patients. Part of these are under the patient assistance program in the U.S., but we expect also for this part of the business for the full year to have a high single-digit growth in the business. We are not concerned. There are some peculiar situations for the business, but the orphan one, the portfolio belonging to the orphan group company is growing double digit. The U.S. is stable, but for the full year we expect to continue to grow also in the U.S. business. Overall, we confirm our objective to have a double digit growth in the orphan business.
Thank you.
The next question is from James Wallace of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Three, if I may. Firstly, how big was the FX impact on the net financial charge? Secondly, can you give a bit more clarity on the timeline for your cariprazine launches? Presumably, you have to undergo negotiations with the individual countries to get reimbursement. Do you have any strong health economic studies in place to achieve good prices? And then thirdly, if you could give any clarity on the Graspa resubmission in the EU, that would be great.
Three or two questions?
Three, FX and the net financial charges.
Okay, then, in our net financial charges, which are €1 million higher than last year, the negative exchange rate is around 1.4 million. Then, excluding these net financial charges in the group is a bit less than 6 million euros. Then, these losses are mainly due to depreciation linked to the depreciation of the ruble for some intercompany deal between our subsidiaries. Ruble. because at the beginning, in March and in April, the ruble was around 60, 59. Now, in particular, in June, there was a depreciation, and now the ruble is in the region of 65, 67. Second question was regarding Cariprazina. Then, first of all, let me say that we are very pleased by the approval. Now we expect to start to launch in 2018 the product, and we expect the launch to the rollout to be during 2018. Now the focus of our effort is for sure in the market access, and we have some for Cariprazina from some study which show positive results for the negative symptom of in the use of Cariprazina, which we expect to be an important element in our market access activity. But here we are in the initial phase. We will now follow the process, and we will update you progressively on the rollout and on the result of our market access activity.
Yeah.
Regarding Graspa, I would like again to underline that the process for the submission, resubmission of the file of Graspa is in the hand of Eritech, and no news, they expect to refile the dossier in the second half of the year. But this is mainly driven by the activity of Eritech is not in our hands. We are partner, but we are not directly managing the filing of Graspa for the ALL indication.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
The next question is from James Vane-Tempest of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Several, if I can. Firstly, can you just remind us when were Viatros or Fortisyn launched, or when will they be launched? Second question is just on your guidance. How much of the upgrade is Metoprolol, and is there any underlying organic upgrades within the guidance? My third question is, you know, given coming back to a previous question, given a flat second quarter in the US for rare diseases, yet the overall rare diseases business performed very strongly, which markets have driven the growth and by how much? And then my final question is on North Africa, just wondering when we may see that business turn around. Thank you.
When will it turn around? James, what was the first question? Vitaros? Sorry?
And Fortisyn. Have they been launched, or when are they expected to be launched?
Fortisyn, okay.
Okay, then.
Vitaros is launched.
Vitaro has been already launched. Now is commercialized mainly in Spain and in Portugal, and recently launched also in Ireland, Portugal, in Czech Republic. And we expect also a launch in Greece. Regarding the Fortisyn Plethora, we expect the launch of the drug at the beginning of 2019, and we are now preparing the organization for this launch. Regarding Metoprolol in our guidance, let's say that at the beginning we are now starting managing directly the product. Is a complex activity because to manage directly Metoprolol means to be able to manage the distribution in all our countries. That we have a service from Zeneca at the beginning, and essentially in our guidance for 2017, the assumption is to keep Metoprolol sales essentially flat, slightly decreasing, because the real impact of our activity in terms of selective promotion country by country, we expect to be mainly in 2018. Then in 2017, the assumption is to continue with the previous trend, also because we expect to start managing and detailing the product only at the end of the year. Regarding Africa,
e volevo sapere se è l'unica ragione della.
Regarding Africa, we have these decreases mainly driven by some limitation in importation in Algeria, and then we expect in 2017 probably not to be able to increase our sales, because unfortunately if there is a generic version of some drug in Algeria, then there are some limitations in the importation, and that is happening for our Zanidip product. Regarding going back to our guidance, let's say that in our organic metoprolol has been included with this assumption. Regarding the business, we expect essentially to be in line with our guidance that we have announced in May. Having said that, in our guidance now we have also included this extra cost, which is the upfront payment of 7 million euro linked to the upfront payment for the signature of the Mimetech contract. No major changes, but a good performance and the capacity of our business also to absorb this cost, which is not normally based to the clinical development, but is upfront paid for having rights for this new interesting compound, and we can keep our guidance even if in the R&D we have charged in the first quarter and obviously also in the full year guidance is 7 million euros. Then there is good performance of the organic business plus the contribution of metoprolol, considering that we are not yet managing directly the business, and we expect metoprolol to be fully managed by our subsidiaries mainly in
2018.
What can I say then? Excluding US, in which we have this flat situation, but as I would like to underline that for the full year we expect at least high double-digit growth for our US market. All the other business is growing without any particular geography doing well. Overall, all our business and all our main products are growing. Then solid and well distributed performance of the rare disease business.
Thanks, that's great.
The next question is a follow up from James Wallace of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my follow-up. Can you give us some more help on how to think of the AstraZeneca-Celicant deal? Are there any countries where you have got this, where you don't have much infrastructure, where you will need to add additional infrastructure? The product in AstraZeneca hands was declining at around 5% a year. Allowing that, you expect this to fall. Do you expect this to fall in 2016? Do you expect to be able to grow the drug in 2018 or just to essentially hold the drug flat? And then finally, can you give us some more details on the market in Turkey? You're growing at about 20%. How long can you continue at this rate?
Okay. Then regarding metoprolol, I agree. Metoprolol was slightly decreasing in the hand of AstraZeneca. For sure, we don't want to keep this trend because we expect to promote and to detail the drug. Essentially, where we have already our subsidiary, we don't expect a significant increase in our infrastructure. We could also thinking on a slight increase in some central European markets in which metoprolol, the Astra brand, has a very good market share, and then we can on some way also rely on this metoprolol sales for an enlargement of our sales force, benefiting also in the other products in our portfolio. But essentially, we don't expect major changes in our infrastructure for the promotion of the product acquired from AstraZeneca. We expect to use the current infrastructure. We expect to promote in a selective way, in a different way, country by country. As usual, the value in this, in managing this brand is not to have a similar strategy, but to be selective as identify different strategy country by country. And we expect for sure to stop this slight decreasing, to stabilize sales, and in some market we could also expect to generate slight increase. But this will be an important objective in 2018. But then we want to, for sure, to promote, to manage the drug, and we expect it in some markets in particular to generate a slight increase.
Continue market.
Then we have also the sales in some European markets in which we have not a direct presence. This is the case of Scandinavian, of Baltic and Hungaria and Bulgaria and in Benelux. Then we today, the objective is to identify opportunity based on metoprolol size of sales, based on our current portfolio sales, and in the future in some of this market we could decide to enter directly. But not only based on the current metoprolol sales, but also linked to other opportunity linked to our corporate product already sold in this market. Regarding Turkey, this question has been asked also last year. 2016-17, we are growing 22-something%, last year 22-something%. Then, okay, we know it's a tough market. We have been strongly impacted by the devaluation, but locally the pharmaceutical business is growing, and we have a very solid brand, and we expect to continue, probably not at 20% or more, but at least our expectation is continue to have a double-digit growth in local currency in Turkey.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
The next question is a follow-up from James Vane-Tempest of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my follow-up question. If I can just come back to the rare diseases business again. Fritz, I understand you're saying that there's perhaps not one individual market outside of the US which is driving the performance. But if I just look at the rare diseases business in the second quarter and exclude the US, just in the quarter, it's up over 40%. So I'm just trying to understand, are all the markets doing that level? Is there something particular about the second quarter we should kind of be aware of? And how should we think about that for the full year?
Okay. Then, as I said, the quarter sometimes is not so significant in terms of trend. Frankly speaking, I prefer to comment the performance on a larger period, in particular in the 6-month period. And then we essentially is doing in some time for the orphan business. There are some tender in some Middle East market which could be in one quarter, in one year, in the other quarter, in another quarter, in the other year. Then let's say that I confirm what I already said: good performance in all our market, and then we are pleased by the performance of our main product.
Okay, so if ex-US it's up 15% in the first half, is that the type of level you think is sustainable for the full year with high single digit in the US?
We expect to be able to release a double-digit growth in line with our assumption for the rare diseases, which means for sure to continue a double-digit growth in the European and on the other part of the world, and to recover to a high single digit or even double digit in the business in the USA. But we are, frankly speaking, we are not concerned and worried about this, because the business is growing, is doing well.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
The next question is a follow-up from Casey Arikatla of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking up my follow-up question. And sorry to go back to rare diseases, but if I heard you correctly, you mentioned that there was a $7 million R&D expense in the quarter, which I presume, yeah, all of it went to rare disease segment, right? So if I added back, that implies that your EBIT margin for rare diseases was almost 54%. That's a bit unusually high. Was there anything else that helped you in the quarter, or was that $7 million not entirely in rare diseases? Thank you.
Entirely in the rare diseases. Then, in the quarter, are you talking about the quarter? As I said, the quarter sometimes is not, I prefer not to comment the quarter. What is important is the trend for the, in the half, in the first half, and what we expect to the full year. Then, regarding your specific question, yes, we have charged $7 million, and this has been fully charged in the rare diseases.
Thank you.
But because on the other hand, the other cost of rare disease, of the R&D rare diseases, could be lower than expected. Then it's a mix. It's not, you cannot just to leave some $7 million and 12, because it's a dynamic. On the, if we have managed this, we have signed this agreement, on the other hand, there are some delay in some cost development for some clinical development in rare disease. But let me again underline, we prefer to comment the 6 months and not only the quarter, because the quarter is not always so significant in terms of strength.
Ms. Tachke, Mr. Squindo, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
bye
you.
Everyone.
Bye.